And this is just such a straight line of sauce, isn't it? Welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin. That's Pedro. Damn it.
Hello.
There was always that 50-50 gamble with the camera, isn't there? And that is Jordan Zwang, and together with you, Shadow Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron, because he is here to save the day. What's up? What's new? We got a chonky show. Had to turn it into a chonky show because Steam did a couple of things. We're even going to be talking about comic books tonight because...
Nerds,
yeah. They'll do it.
You're on the internet on a Saturday night listening to people on a Linux gaming podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
hot single ladies are waiting for you in our Discord.
Hashtag not sponsored. Now.
Sponsored by hot ladies.
If you stick around for the end of the show, we're going to tell you how Microsoft has solved game subscription stagnation. And by that, I mean you're going to now skip to the timestamp. Good on you. All right. So before we get going, I want to talk about a couple things. I went ahead and released the... I've talked about it on the show. I finally pushed that up. Go to interfacinglinux.com. It's the latest post up there for the Audio Science ASI 512, because we love playing with server hardware, getting it on eBay, getting something old, getting something, repurposing it. I decided to do that with a real piece of radio broadcast hardware. Why? Because I had Linux drivers. Technically, it did have Linux drivers. A month later, we got it working. I take you on that entire journey. Journal? Yes. It is a journal. It's a journey.
It requires a generator to go through the journal.
Because you stop believing.
I'm just a city boy. Yeah. And small town. Raised in South Detroit.
Go check that out. What about you? One picture, Mateus. What do you got going on this week, man? You've been busy at work.
Yes, busy at work, and then after work, going around to as many of the teeny tiny little small villages in East Anglia looking for
your
a place
picks?
To live.
Get your luck
fix. just looking for somewhere to live that's
I
cheaper
didn't hear
than
a no.
No. somewhere to live that's cheaper than Cambridge, because Cambridge is really expensive. Really expensive. Just looking at the prices on the websites around, it's like, oh, you can get a 3-story house for £200 less a month in rent that I'm currently paying? Huh. Right.
Jordan Swing, what's up?
Dungeons & Dragons is an incredibly dangerous game. It's full of hazards and traps. I fell victim to one. I was walking into my office in the morning, and I felt a horrible pain on my foot, only to find...
Why? I thought to myself... Wait, we got all those back. Then you were like, I better take my shoe off.
No, I don't wear my shoes indoors. I live in Canada, the civilized part of the world. Maybe I should start wearing shoes indoors, because, yeah, I step inside my office, and there is shooting pain on my foot. And I thought, maybe I stepped on something and I shattered it and some plastic shard went into my foot. Nay, this fucker rolled a critical hit on my foot. It is a nice little triangular prism right here. Yeah, that's fun. So, moral of the story, kids, D&D is dangerous.
D4s make very good caltrops, yes.
Dude, how does that end up on your floor?
I don't know. I think I've been moving stuff around and maybe I knocked something. I was using my dice earlier and there's a bunch of it on my desk, and I thought they were pretty like on the inside of the desk away from the edge. That one was not.
Have you upset anyone in the house lately?
I mean, when do I not piss people?
I'm just saying, man. Somebody that could have been a strategic.
It's very possible. It's probably Luna.
I did like the picture you took where the dye was about the same color as the floor. So it's probably been there a while.
The desk, but yeah.
Or the desk.
Same thing.
It's actually a different color, but the point is that shit hurts. Ow.
So, we're not doctors, but don't take this as medical advice. Don't step on sharp shit.
Turns out, yeah.
Yeah.
LGC cares.
There we go. Now, if the horse had stepped on it.
You'll get your tetanus shot.
The horse was wearing horseshoes. I got my tetanus shot a couple of years ago when I cut myself on a broken piece of glass. The horse certainly hasn't. The horse is just tetanus. Just like the steam. It's time to duel, then.
It is. Rejoice, all of you. For it has returned. Valve's Abandoned Baby. A game that was met with... The fuck's this?
A resounding meh.
You know, we're talking about Artifact, and this comes from PC Games Inn. We'll put a link to everything in the show notes. Look at that. You're like, oh, yeah. You're like, oh. Valve paid a lot of money for that. How dare you? This was kind of weird, man. So there's been a jump in playership in Artifact. It was down to basically higher than I was expecting, around like 59 average players. Doing pretty good. I'm like, all right. Something happened on Tuesday, because it went from that to about 2,500, and I was like, man, all right, maybe it's a blip. No one knows. So I headed over here. Gentlemen, it is stuck. Here we are on the 14th, and we're still averaging 2,500 average players, and this is just such a straight line of sus, isn't it? You're like, well, that number's too even every single day.
Oh. How relevant. We have a bot in chat.
Aw. Cheap viewers. Yes.
I want expensive viewers, though.
Come on, viewers. You guys are going to take that? You're just going to take that and just calling you cheap?
Listen, y'all are a bunch of classy viewers. We would make you breakfast.
What do you think it is? I mean, it's obviously probably bots. You got some theories on it.
Yeah, the article very much says is probably a bot wave, and the timing with Valve actively betting a shit ton of people from TF2, we talked about that last week, because they were botting, and all of a sudden, there's a big surge of bots on Artifact. Seems like a too coincidental of things.
It's a bold move because, you know, people ostensibly cared about TF2. No one gives a shit about Artifact. So I don't think there's going to be a Save Artifact campaign in the next couple of years. Yeah, my fun theory was like, I get nicotine fits for Magic the Gathering, so maybe some people have the Artifact bug. But that's straight ass line. That's some bot shit. That's not natural.
You definitely got to think of it. It's fallen just a bit because I was like, wait a minute. What was like the initial push on this? Like when it was new and you just download it and you played it, like I even downloaded it and I'm like, well, I don't care. This was like, we were talking about this in the previous super show. Like what was the Hearthstone, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Peak card game. They released it at the right time too. Like that was like the time to strike. This thing, 60,000 6 years ago.
And yeah, it first
immediately fell off the cliff down to 300. Which it held up till, well, not, never mind, dial that back.
That truncated y-axis kind of distorts the numbers a little bit, doesn't it?
It does, like 200, yeah, by 2020, less than a year after release, it's like down to 210, and it doesn't get better. This is weird. If anybody knows, you know, if you're in the business and you're like, hey, yeah, I turned my bot farm over to mine for this, like, call us up. Let us know. But we won't tell anybody.
All the cards are free though, so I don't know that they made that all available.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but and this is for Classic, which is where all the cards are free. So,
maybe this is all to like create account history and like blah blah blah. This is like the bot priming shit where they're like, hey, we're gonna register for a bunch of accounts. We're gonna sit in games for a bit, make them vaguely resemble some real accounts.
I just thought it was interesting. Then again. Yeah. We could all be wrong. Maybe it is a streamer that's like, this is great. And like that person has like 2,000 people watching and they decided to come up with like a tournament for $10,000 or something. You're like, you got to get whatever by the end of the week.
Yeah. I'll give you a free sub to my OnlyFans.
That would be what, yeah. One
Pedro
way
is making that. That's highly unlikely face, which I realize.
No, that's one way to drive engagement. Yes. But I like card games. I do. I genuinely do. I played a lot of Hearthstone. I played a lot of Magic the Gathering. And I had very much expected that I would love Artifact when they were talking about it. It's like, yeah, the Magic the Gathering person. We brought him in, and it's around the Dota stuff, but the Dota stuff is just the flavor. So it's going to be a card game by the established name in card games. So I played it, and you have to play, because, you know, three lanes in Dota, so you have to play three games at once. And it broke me. it genuinely broke me.
I guess this goes to show you that, like, Mark Rosewater is just a better game designer than Richard Garfield. Send your hate mail to
those are names. Be angry at
showlessgamecast.com. Yeah, right.
Comic books.
Let's talk about sequential art. It's the thing that people need to look at to use their imaginations and fill in the gaps so that you can watch cartoons in your brain. But there was one for Team Fortress 2 that came out. There were six episodes that came out a couple years ago, and they had a bit of a narrative, and I guess they were the story of TF2, or a story of Team Fortress 2. The last comic ends in the line, "We are Team Fortress, and we are going to beat you up." So, a title drop? Giggity. I don't know. So, this all comes because people really like the comics. There are some fan people or fans who are working on continuing the comics, but then Eric Wolpaw and others basically said, "Hey, we are working on a seventh issue of the comic. We have a script. We have some art that backs up the drawings of the script." And now the TF2 webcomic has a thing that says part 7 coming soon. I went back and I tried to read through the TF2 comic because I don't think I ever read through it originally. The writing is very, very 2000s era webcomic, but the art is pretty well done. They got a good artist on staff to do it. But I guess for those of you who are dying for more TF2 lore, it's coming.
Number 7 is supposedly coming out, and you have the screenshot of Eric Wolpaw going, "It's not a hoax," his word, which it's Valve. Well. I say that, but we're going to be talking about a certain fighting game in a moment, so, you know, bear that in mind. It doesn't mean much, but it would be nice, and it doesn't... Hey, it's not number 3, so they're probably going to release it, right? It's number 7.
Listen, Valve time has nothing on comic book time. Comic book time is like the OG. Hey, we're just going to drop this story, and then 20 years later, some other writer is going to pick this up because they got pissed that the old writer dropped the story, so they're going to finish it. So... You know, it's like poetry.
It's like that kid, you know, as it grows up and like gets a job at the company, fixes the bug, quits.
Yeah,
like exactly. Somebody going to do that. What do you guys think? Do you think there was any? I want to believe there was some type of correlation between this and getting the bots fixed, so it didn't have such a stink on it.
Maybe.
I think that was part of the push, yes. It's like, oh, you're finally going to be done with the comic for the game that we haven't paid attention to and people have been
mostly negative,
throwing shit at us.
You think somebody like working on the comic are like, hey.
All right, fine. I guess we'll do something about it.
That could speak ill. It could have just been a manual, like hard manual ban wave too. Like, you know, just buy some time till this is out. I've never read it. I was surprised. I was like, I knew there's a Team Fortress 2 comic. Apparently there was. Apparently people like it enough.
Also a Portal comic.
Does it cover the first blue portal or orange portal?
The green one.
Yes.
The time portal.
Yeah, right. That bastard.
That fucker, man. Dude, that time portal is a real fucker. Mm-hmm. Swear to God.
Some people... According to the internet, you know, if you're in with it and you're a little underground, you don't mind buying hardware that's, you know, not like hyper popular or anything, you might have picked up a Steam Deck, you know.
Hyper popular is still not as popular as the other game consoles.
You get another right person, little back alley deal, you know.
It's no MSI claw, right?
You got to go to AliExpress and like order this, you know.
Or the Legion Go, or, well, the ROG Ally is actually popular because the cheaper version is cheap enough that you can buy it easily in Australia, which...
That ROG Ally keeps showing back up on that auction site. No one wants that
shit. No one wants it. No one wants it. Like, everybody thinks, like, everybody's over it. Like, yeah. Valve had a good idea. Like, they got the software right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, they spent years working on it, and they had a couple fuck-ups up to that point. They had the Steam controller, they had Steam machines, they've been working on Proton for a while. Like, the Steam Deck didn't materialize out of nowhere. And
shut up. We can make one in 6 months and ship it.
Sure thing is some shitty ass software that barely works.
I can't hear you. I'm too busy leaking company records.
I agree. Yeah.
Apparently, no one at Sabrent actually bought a Steam Deck, because if they had, they probably would have realized that that was a bad idea. They're doing just a USB hub that folds around the Steam Deck so that it's up against the back. Problem: the Type-C port on the Steam Deck is in line with the vent.
How's the problem? The intake vent. Listen, that's dude. There are reasons. I can get a cross-drilled thumb drive and have plenty of airflow.
You gotta get like the vulcanized rubber flash drives that just seal onto the vent.
Pedro, I can take I can plug this in, and then I can plug an extension into that, then plug my thumb drive into that extension, and maybe tape it to the other side.
On the screen.
Just further to the right there.
That is genuinely bad how it got to the point where they have the probably renders, maybe not finals, but who knows. It got to that point and no one realized maybe it's a bad idea if we covered the intake. It would have been a lot better if instead of being horizontal, it was vertical so that you could have, you know, the plug in the drives horizontally so that they wouldn't cover the vent.
Or you do like a Z-shaped thing where it just kind of clips broader on the back and moves the port over. If you're going to do this, you definitely want to pair it with one of those like ventilated Steam Deck backplates.
This is like, I don't understand why you, this is something to knock off and get broken inside of your USB connector because of the way it just clips over the top. Like, that's all that's going to happen with this. I don't know how Sabrent got to this point, because Sabrent makes some decent stuff, man. Like, it works. Yeah.
That is, like, did seriously no one buy a Steam Deck at Sabrent, and they just made it off of the schematics? Because Valve made the schematics available.
Now, admittedly, so Sabrent is one of those companies that will just make shit to make shit, too.
they got to fill out their product catalog.
Right, right. They're not as bad as, like, StarTech, like, but...
StarTech, Ugreen.
Listen, I will give StarTech credit, because if you use need an adapter, force. They fucking make it.
Oh yeah, no, and they will make you pay through your teeth for it too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we're the only ones stupid enough to make this fucking thing.
Yeah, when you're fucking laying in bed at 3 o'clock and you're like, I wonder if somebody made an adapter to that. And they're like, we got you, fam. Here, $60. $60, little man.
200 sometimes, depending on how obscure you want.
Dude, that is kind of wild. Go watch the video version. Check out the link for this thing, because it is as clear as you would think. First, you're just hanging something off the back. It's got a USB-C port, two Type-A's. To put you, I don't understand the use case.
I see. Mirror just posted a thing in Discord. Yeah, they're just reusing the same molding that they had for the ROG Ally version.
And
just made it black. For the Steam Deck. They straight up didn't buy a Steam Deck.
They didn't get a Steam Deck. It happened to fit. It was, we made it black. And hey, notice how it doesn't cover ventilation holes.
Oh.
Yes.
On the,
the ROG Ally, it's slightly off to the side.
Right.
I guess if you expend the internal SSD and the SD card, you need to throw some thumb drives on the back for more storage, because you need to play all your games.
Nothing's
on Steam Deck.
Nothing's
going to
get wedged under
time.
There and just snap all apart, dude. Yeah, no, won't happen. What if you get your Steam Deck in a case? Womp womp.
Yeah, no, you can't fit the Steam Deck in a case with that plugged in.
Good job.
Not the official case, anyway. Maybe a third-party one.
With some scissors, anything is possible, right?
Oh, God.
Snip, snip.
I kind of want to do that just to make the internet mad. Oh, we can go darker. All right, since we're talking about StarTech, we can take that USB. We're going to have to find a way to tap 5 volts, though, because I want to eventually break this extension down to an IDE drive.
To tape to
the back of the Steam Deck, a spinning one.
I just want this to go into, like, a wall outlet.
I mean, it does have the USB-C pass-through so that you can still charge it.
It needs to be jankier. Paper. We need to hook this up to a diesel generator.
Okay. We've had our fun. Let's talk about a new game. It was supposed to come out this week, but it didn't.
Oops.
Wop wop. It's just called Festival. You know, stick with what works. Festival clearly wasn't taken, I guess.
Festival for the Restival.
Why am I interested in this? Well, I looked at the description. It's a role-playing game. I'm like, all right, set in a Renaissance fair. I'm like, okay, that might end up becoming, you know, depending on how it plays out. Well, no, this is going to become GTA because it's straight up got PvP in it and Battle Royale online multiplayer. And
MMO, MOBA, Dark Souls, with some GTA RP thrown in there. Yeah,
yeah. Effectively, if we scroll down here, it's just like Dark Souls 3, according to Steam. It's designed for controllers, and I like the little warning here. You can it's fully voice acted too. Like, I'm curious about this because I'm getting to it. You know, they say, hey, it's cussy, it's filled with drugs, and there might be sexy situations. I'm like, yeah, this is going to turn into like GTA. It probably won't, but holy hell, this download, though. 55 gigabytes.
Listen, there's a lot of shit going on in the Renaissance Festival.
And if you're thinking about like what we'd say are like Saturn level polygon graphic aesthetic they're going for.
It reminds me a little bit of like Dire Straits. I Want My MTV a little bit.
I was going to say more late 1980s.
A virtual fighter.
Yeah. Something of that era. Yeah. Early 90s, late 80s, early
3D. There's only one developer, Billy, and it was supposed to come out on Monday, and that just went poof. Now it's back to coming Spoon. Oh, nobody knows. Hopefully it comes up because I want to. I was hoping like we were going to jump into this in the after shows and
do some try to joust and then just no. It's like when we played Cursed Fuck Off and Die. It's like let's get into this car and drive somewhere and we all just get headshotted by a sniper.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'd be on horses or something. I don't know, in a wagon.
There's still a sniper there.
Yeah, I was looking at the because Ven pointed out. Yeah, 55 gigs of a storage requirement. Is that why it doesn't have a trailer? Because you're supposed to have a trailer in your Steam store page.
Oh, they're trying to be like the game we looked at in the pre Super Shows.
Yes,
because you know what? If I didn't, and Valve sent me a nasty gram, they were like, "You need." I would clap back, but like, "Y'all motherfucker, just doctor heal thyself on this one." Like, don't tell me what to do when you're not doing it on your own page.
Yeah. Although I am genuinely curious as to why they recommend the minimum requirement is a DirectX compatible sound card for the Linux version. Although they claim that the Linux version is not yet tested.
That's common across so many games are like, yeah, DirectX 9 capable sound card on Linux. You know, because we're using
that's in the drop down.
Yeah. It people aren't. It's like no one's gonna click on this shit. Who uses Linux?
Hi.
No one. No. Nobody who counts uses Linux.
Now to the big update. We talked about this. Was it last week or the week before? Might have been last week. We were speculating. Dude posted on this a Valve leaker. He's like, I can't say more because I don't know more. But Valve's working on a fighting game. To like Jordan, your take was like Super Steam Bros. Let's do this, right?
I think that was everyone's first thought, was just like, yeah, Super Smash Bros, but with like Valve characters.
Like, who do we put in it? I don't know. And I was like, you're probably going to use fucking Dota with a bunch of people that I don't know about. Lo.
Turns out.
And behold, Sleep Fighter Turbo Alpha Extreme 2.
With Knuckles.
Everything's got Knuckles these days, man. How to play, this is just real. This exists. This happened. You can go play it on Linux right now. How to play it. It's a bit of a journey. first, the hardest part is you got to convince yourself that you're going to download Dota 2. All right. Once you get past that,
no.
it's just a mode that has been included with a Crownfall update. You get 5 characters, dedicated move list. Like this, I mean, they did the half-assery right. You know, alt skins, you get frame data, which I think is more of a joke than anything else. And I went looking for this. I was like, okay, this is my playlist, because I was kind of like Pedro. Pedro's like, I don't want to play Dota. I was like, I was willing to download Dota. And he's like, oh no, you got to play some Dota. And I was like, don't care that much. I got to see what it looks like. So I headed over to YouTube, and I watched a couple of these videos. I did, because the first two, I was convinced that these were just from people who didn't know how, they were used to capturing MOBAs, right? And like they're moving at like 1 FPS anyway. They don't know how to capture a fighting game. No. Valve decided to bless these characters with about 6 to 8 frames of animation each.
That's why you can get good frame data.
It's pretty chunky, man. And Sleep Fighter, come on, man. Come on. That makes me think like Power Washing Simulator, but with like sleep. Hey, I guess it's more of a joke, though. And you can play online, of course. But Jordan, you think it's good that they're getting back in the jokey...
Yeah, like honestly, they're making new games. Sure, they're like little shitty mini games inside of Dota, right? But like they're making stuff. I remember when Codename Gordon or like Alien Swarm came out, and people were like, "Oh, Valve made a fun little game that like is not some super huge thing that everyone needs to get on, but they're like decent quality games." You know, and maybe this is their first step. Maybe someone wants to make a fighting game, and they're like, "Hey, implement it in Dota and see how the people react to it." I just wish that. Given the flexibility and like flatness of Valve as an organization, that they would come out with more smaller scale stuff more frequently.
Yeah. I've heard one common complaint though, Pedro.
Just the one?
Just one. Outside of that, this is going to dominate. This is going to be at Evo this year.
Yeah,
guarantee you.
New Evo mainstay. Yep. Yeah. Sonic Fox is getting ready.
Done. Like they're grinded. They're grinded. How's the controller support in old Dota?
Judging by the move list that you were scrolling through there, not fucking there.
It seemed to be a common theme for every video that I watched, people going, what the fuck? Why do I get W to...
Fantasy Strike, baby.
I'm sure, yeah, you can use Steam input to probably map a controller to the keyboard inputs. That's a thing that exists.
Do you think there's like genuinely one serial killer that has been playing Dota with a controller this whole time? He's like, finally.
Probably. I know there's someone playing Dota with like Elite Motion and like doing reasonably well compared to some other people on keyboard.
Mm.
I guess if you are one of the people that really relies and really enjoys the gyro life, absolutely. There's probably some fun to be had there. But yeah, no, I don't want to start Dota 2, and I especially don't want to play 2. What is it? Act 3 of the story mode? No, fuck that.
Come on, man.
It's just like Dark Souls.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
Because you play a video game to punish yourself to do the thing that you actually wanted to do. It is 100% Dark Souls.
No, it's not.
I enjoy the Dark Souls punishment. I hate Dota.
Bad analogy. It's like Dark Souls because it's about as involved as trying to get multiplayer working.
Oh,
come at me.
Yeah, no, I will never defend the Dark Souls multiplayer at all. That shit.
Hey, you want to play Dark Souls multiplayer? You got a minute? All right.
Okay. Shame you can't pause the game to figure that out so that you get killed mid-game.
You can bring up a pause menu, though.
You can, sort of kind of pause Elden Ring.
Right.
But not while you're online. That very much, the option doesn't even show up if you're online.
Damn shame that. I dropped this a couple hours before we went live because we like emulate. We talk about Dolphin a lot. We have been talking about PCSX because, well, they hadn't really been doing much.
Yeah. PCSX 2, along with the OG EPSXE any of the OG PlayStation emulators, they've been quiet, but PCSX2, well, they've released version 2.0. Yes. As it turns out, it's been a long, long time, apparently about 20 years since work started on it, which is impressive. Reading through the post that they made, it very much reads like someone has been paying attention to the RPCS3 and the Dolphin update posts that they've been doing, which we've also covered on the show. So good job. Very good job. We like those. Actually, being able to... One of the things that they introduced was being able to save per game configurations rather than effectively being stuck in the 90s where you had the one configuration and you had to manually change in between games. Now you can actually save per game configurations, which is kind of necessary once you start getting into the complexity of the games like the PS2 era. And SDL for proper automagic controller mapping, which, I don't know, I think that's about a decade too late, but at least it's there now, so Very good. Genuinely very, very good.
I thought a lot of this was good, man. Getting rid of the plugins. People are going to be upset about that. They went with the devil. They decided to go to Qt. But that's kind of like the cross-platform toolkit everybody else is using.
Doing.
You know? Pre-configured games, though. We had a bit of a chat about that earlier, and I'm like, that's a good idea. Because like one thing that's roadblock I hit with Dolphin play a game was like, oh, well, I mean, it launches, but like it's a pretty peasant experience unless you apply these 13 patches and configure it this. And I'm like, I don't want to play the game that much. So having that out of the box with PCSX2 is great. Big fan of that. And they have a repository for these patches. So you don't have to go like digging around in like wherever these patches hide. I'm sure it's like patches.com, right? Don't go there.
Patch.
We're talking about Dark Souls. There's that Patches character. Yes.
Well, I mean, look at this.
He's from Game of Thrones.
Beautiful. Love it. I mean, because they added the INI like labels to your patch files. Now you know what the hell they are. This is not like random crap. You're like, oh, I think that's the right file to load.
Yeah. Speaking of the UI redesign, also like has per game memory, because that was the issue with the older framework, is that every time you load a new game, you have to like set up everything. Now it'll just be like, hey. You're playing Metal Gear Solid 2? There you go. Here's your Metal Gear Solid 2 settings.
Also, I'm going to give everybody a warning. Do not have this open on Linux along with OBS.
Not a fan.
You will fucking confuse the two. That's it. It's
both Qt-based. Yes.
with the color theme and all that. But yeah, there's been performance improvements and all this, man. I want to know. Let me know in the comments. I seek your input. Do you game on emulators? We were talking about this during Trackmania last night. Ooh, come hang out with us. Or are you a purist? You're like, no, I want to play an original hardware. Or if you like me, I'm like, I don't care, man. Like, if I wanted to play a game, I can't think of any like console game outside of Bayonetta 2 and Nintendo that I would go out of my way to play. So does something like this reduce that barrier to entry? Like, okay, we're going to handle a lot of this stuff. And you don't have to deal with it, because when I look at it, it's like I could figure it out, but I didn't want to figure it out enough to play the game.
There's another issue here as well, and that's like the availability of the games, because, you know, these PS2 games, they were on DVDs. The physical items
we're
can
only
get
talking
scratched.
About games that you have backed up previously. You already have ISOs.
That's what I mean. If I want to play new games, or if I want to be able to play games that were unavailable due to region shenanigans and so on. It's very hard to be a purist. Also, those PlayStation controllers those old PS2 controllers had really short cables, so you had to be real close to the console itself. So these days, I do generally prefer playing on an emulator. There's something to be said about like, oh yeah, boot up the old PS2 and blah blah blah, but like, I feel that's more of a nostalgia thing. The games tend to run better on the emulators anyways.
Oh, yes. Especially just pissed off the entire speedrunning community. Jordan's thing.
I'm not a speedrunner. I don't give a shit.
I'm just telling you, dude. This is where I see like the fight from.
Yeah. I'm just talking about myself.
For most people, I think, most people will be in Camp Jordan, which is, if you're playing the old game, yeah, let me scale up the resolution to 4K, maybe have it on the 50-inch screen TV that I have in the living room, playing it at 4K at 60 FPS, because it's a PS2 game, you probably can, and it looks great. Yeah, it's still graphics from that era, but they look great.
I like that. I don't care, by the way, so no, calm the fuck down, anybody who wants to try to clap back at me. But I genuinely don't like sharp pixels. And like, it did not. We all grew up playing these games on CRTs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where and the smoothing was kind of, you know, a byproduct of the scan lines.
Right. Yes. The point was to make it not look pixelated.
The sprites and the models and shit were designed to take advantage of that.
Right.
So.
And there's certain effects that you can achieve with an emulator, like the waterfalls is famous in Sonic. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. That has to be run through a CRT. I'm sure somebody's already patched it. Then you run into things like this. You know, if you were previously playing Red Car Driver Simulator, you've been playing it like this until recently, unless you had a PS2 where it had a skybox.
Mm.
They were saying that the community was threatening them with putting anime girls across the sky. So they went, you know what? Fine, we'll fix it.
Fine, we'll take a look at it. Oh, man.
No, but they are definitely putting a lot more work with this release into the accuracy as well, because that has been another pain point with PCSX. It's been more priority about getting the game actually running rather than getting it running as accurately as possible. So,
yep. Cool, man. Love to see it. Now, something that you're probably only going to hear on a Linux gaming podcast is people not just talking about D8VK, but genuinely excited for it.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about PlayStation 2 games, and there was another console out in that era. It was the Xbox, the OG, and it used DirectX 8, and now you can too on your Linux machine. Well, you could have already. DXVK was the thing, but it has been considered feature complete, even more feature complete than D9VK was when it was schlooped into DXVK proper, but now it is just a single entry point for all of your legacy DirectX versions in one place. This is good stuff, getting it all consolidated under one hood. I look forward to all the Lutris runner maintainers cursing themselves, going to update all of their runners to now take advantage of the new D9V or DEXVK. But hey, that's the cost of progress, right?
It's genuinely really, really nice. And I wish, because this is, you know, the DXVK, they don't really do any of the fancy stuff like other tools like DG Voodoo 2 and their ilk allow you to do, like forcing a higher resolution, like literally lying to the renderer and say, no, you render at this resolution. And most games actually did. Or introducing some kind of post-processing, like proper AA and whatnot. DXVK doesn't do that, which is unfortunate, but I absolutely get why. The purpose of DXVK is to translate old DirectX to Vulkan as closely as possible for the sake of compatibility. So I absolutely understand why they don't want to do it. But I guess at this point, yeah, DG Voodoo 2 isn't going anywhere because, people like me who like to upscale older games are still going to use it.
Hey, just go get a Voodoo card.
No!
I'd rather use the DG Voodoo thing that lies to the system.
I mean, we're talking about a small amount of games, too. As somebody who was on 3DFX way back in the day, dude, and like a lot of those had alternate renders, too, though, didn't they? How many games were like permanently locked to glide? I can't think of a list.
The ones that were like glide or software still had the software render. So, yeah.
You can brute force the software render.
nowadays you can brute force the software renderer with literally everything. on your 16-core 5 gigahertz CPU, there's no problem.
Yeah, like 1% of one of your threads can brute force.
What are some popular DX8 titles?
It was a lot of stuff that came out for the original Xbox, so like Morrowind and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Morrowind is the big one.
Halo 2 was DirectX 10.
The first Guild Wars, I remember it had a DirectX 8 renderer. I think that was just for compatibility, though.
How did you leave out 18 Evolution wheels 2? Of steel across America?
We have done this Google search multiple times on this podcast, because every time we bring up D8VK, it's like, what the fuck actually used DirectX 8? Avenue Flow,
Battlefield 1942.
Yep. That was a great fucking game.
Blood Rain. Oh, and Blood Rain 2. God, those are so bad. I have those.
Yes. Seriously, use DG Voodoo 2 for Blood Rain if you want to play the Steam version. Find out how you can load up DG Voodoo 2 on him.
Chameleon, Chicken Invaders 3 and 4 and 5. Oh boy.
Damn. So, I mean, listen, there's enough here. I mean, this just keeps...
Basically from like 2000-ish to like 2005.
I saw some Tony Hawks.
Hang on. Yeah. Let's go. That's the old release. Wait, what? Duke Nukem Forever? Oh, shit. 2022?
First release? That's I don't know where they're pulling that information from. That shit ain't right.
Duke Nukem Forever?
Duke Nukem Forever? Yeah, that makes sense. The re-release from 2022.
They did re-release it, didn't they?
Then from well-known developer Slippy Floor, Sex Search. in 2022.
The Slug by Vyacheslav.
I gotta go off screen so I can go see what this was. That's about what I was thinking. All right. Oh, it's on Steam too. Huh.
Oh, great. Of course, it's running Proton. And now it runs in Proton. Aha.
Proton is so dope. One, everything that's going to be able to leverage this is great for everybody. Even for some reason, you're sitting here like, I'm never getting rid of Windows. It's going to be great for you later on when you have to get rid of Windows. And the only way to play these games that are just no longer, at some point, Microsoft's got to break that compatibility chain. And it's already getting rough for games that are 10 years old, 15, and you start getting into great, where it's, click play, we're done.
I mean, yeah, especially for older games, you're going to have a lot easier time just running that shit in Wine most of the time.
Oh, hell yeah. 100% of the time.
Because all the hacks to get that shit working are already there. You don't need to do it yourself.
You don't have to go to supersketchy.cx to download the from the forum the guy that, here's an EXE all blindly run. Sure.
You just use Umu.
Where are you at, Umu?
Umu. Well, you know, speaking of stuff that may end up going into Proton at some point, and some stuff that's already in, well, Gamescope, not Proton, let's talk about the latest news coming out of ARM. They got SARMs, they got the Selective Androgen Response Modulators. No, they have temporal upscaling. They were looking at the GPU open code that AMD made available for FSRs 1.0 and 2.0. And they said, hey, this is probably a good idea to have some support on this on our GPUs. So now we have ARM Accuracy Super Resolution. They got FSR at home. But, like, I mean, honestly, this is good. For power-optimized platforms like ARM, that can help show better-looking images with lower power, gives you better battery life. This is good all around. This is a very mobile focused article as well. They're very keen on indicating that, like, this, we're really focused on having this available on, like, phones, which again makes sense. People don't really care about graphical fidelity of, like, fucking Farmville, and if you can squeeze an extra, like, 4 or 5 hours of battery out of there, people are gonna be happy. So yeah,
and if you can do it properly, only scale the elements, like non-HUD elements that only impacts the stuff that you're probably not reading, it's not impacting text directly. So yeah, you can probably get away with it, but I've seen some bad, bad temporal AA in a few games, and the grainy shimmering effect that it creates, especially with stuff in motion. Elden Ring is a prime example of shit temporal AA, but hey. it made me wary of just temporal post-processing effects in general, so I hope they manage to bypass that.
Show them mouse lips.
It is a shimmer fest. Everyone remembers, like, when we got easy FSR1 in Gamescope, right?
Proton G
first, yeah.
In the Gamescope. Like, I'm gonna try that, and everybody's like, everything's glittery. No, unless you were like hyper desperate, and things have gotten better. They have, you know, FSR2, and now AMD's even moved on to 3.1 FSR
with frame generation.
So you can introduce additional lag. Then you can introduce a feature to help reduce the lag, which you've introduced. Oh, why? Because, like,
buy a new video card. We need to load up that
because
sucker,
we want,
right?
FERP's number higher.
Yeah, there's zero competition in the GPU industry right now. The rasterization is like, fuck it, whatever. We'll deal with it. One thing I never thought about, though, and they brought up in this, is especially on mobile, and this will also apply to our, you know, brave new army laptop world, anywhere where you're going to be in a battery, is the savings, because you're not crunching those numbers as hard to get that performance or that resolution when you're using FSR.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you don't really think about that on a desktop. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess it would be using less power, because it is.
It's rendering lower resolution, and the upscaling doesn't take anywhere near as much GPU processing power. So, yeah, ARM,
and
the Steam Deck.
And Squirrel, according to their demo, which is totally, totally fair and not the best case scenario that they could come up with in that entire fucking 8-minute movie, Squirrel Lips look pretty decent at with the upscaling.
Is
so,
there an 8-minute movie of Squirrel Lips that I'm just glossing over?
It's like the demo or whatever.
The
Mori, like,
demo.
Mori.
It's that fat squirrel that's standing on a log.
This?
You can see the lips. Look at the lips on that squirrel.
No, the dick sucking lips.
Right then.
I guess.
Needs more squirrel lips.
It really does, because it does look a little shimmery. But hey, man, free performance. Let's rock and roll with it. Now, AV1, let's just lose whoever's left watching. It's a way to encode video that's better than what you're currently using. I'm talking to the six of you who are streamers. And you know there's a lot more of you who just stream into Discord. Why? Because you're not old. You could already use AV1. But here on Twitch, they've been very reluctant to do the obvious thing that Discord has done, or YouTube has done, and that's allow AV1 ingest. And pretty much everybody has got a modern GPU. I know both of these Yahoos have AV1 encode.
Pedro doesn't, I don't believe.
I don't. I have AV1 decode, but not encode.
That seven series, baby. I waited
so long. I waited so fucking long, and I'm still waiting. Come on,
still
Twitch.
Waiting. You know what? I have a $99 Intel card that does it. Like,
yeah,
they're giving this stuff away. Twitch is like, would be too easy if we just let you.
just send your data over the open standard
to our thing. Change it from HEVC 264 to AV1, like a little drop. No. Here's our idea. We're going to let you at home transcode multiple streams at different bit rates, you know, triple, quadruple the load on your box. Oh, and your bandwidth too, by the way. And this is all going to be managed automatically through software. You don't even have to worry about it.
Enhanced broadcasting.
And you're going to shoot all that up to us and we'll sort it out and make sure everybody. All right. Sure. Good luck with that. Well, good news, everybody. Good news. Twitch posted earlier this week that enhanced broadcasting is now available to everybody. Just go ahead and get it. Automatic configuration. You never have to worry about it. And when your shit explodes, you'll be like, well, that was automatic. Lovely. To which immediately after that, they went, right. It will be available in the upcoming version of OBS Studio 30.2 when it releases soon. Let's call this an early heads up teaser tweet. We will quote this tweet when it already left. Sorry for the hiccup, blah, blah, blah. It was an accident. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that for a damn minute. Not even a femtosecond. Can you have a femtominute? What's a femtominute look like?
It's just a number of seconds.
It looks like, what's his name?
What does the number of seconds look like?
The pretty blonde boy.
It looks like a hand going,
time's not real, man. Wake up.
That's not what my alarm clock says.
A large part of my brain comes across as Twitch going, y'all need to hurry up and fucking release this. It's already been how long fucking now since we started doing this? Just a friendly reminder to the OBS team, like, get this shit out. That's how I read that tweet. I'm like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to accidentally reel it, but now everybody knows. They're working on it. Am I interested in it? Let me tell you why I'm interested in this, why you should be as a consumer, not a streamer. It's going to be a fucking shit show. Get your popcorn out. I know people who stream. I know semi-popular streamers now. It's weird. They're dumb when it comes to this. They're doing good. They're doing good to have been able to get OBS up and running and getting it clicked. Something goes wrong, shit falls apart. You're going to throw this into the mix? They don't know what their upload bandwidth is. They got 20,000 people watching them every day. No idea. All of a sudden, their upload bandwidth's not going to be enough. Their computer's going to start overheating. The game's not going to be running. Why? Because you're not doing one stream. You're not doing one encode. You're doing four, six. It's going to be fun to watch. So get that popcorn ready. Whenever Twitch support decides, they need to send out that retweet and make it generally available. And it should work on Linux. The work's, I think, pretty much done. One thing I don't like, what are your thoughts on this, Jordan? What about open source development that is only partially exposed to the public? Because OBS Project does this regularly. And have no illusions. Somebody, Amazon cut a check for this development. You know, this isn't...
Yeah, I don't know. There's like the ideal situation and the practical reality of, like, you know, you're creating open source software that implements with a proprietary upstream service using features in a proprietary driver. Yeah, at some point you can't develop all that stuff in the open. There's going to be some level of abstraction and sort of dark communication that needs to happen. Is it ideal? No, but, you know, it's kind of necessary given the situation.
How does that play out with, like, licensing with contributors of, like, hey, you're using my code to do that. I should be able to look at it while you guys are working on it.
I don't know, but, like, I would fathom that, honestly, for a lot of the open source licenses, they just don't care. They'll scoop it up and be like, yeah, what are you going to do, sue us?
Streamlabs fucked around and found out on that one.
Right?
Yeah, we're just going to start calling our... I forget exactly how it went down. OBS clap back hard. Like, our bad. Now they're in a partnership, yeah. So it worked out.
Yeah, and that's Streamlabs. But, like, you know, you go to Amazon or NVIDIA or some shit. You're like, oh, yeah, we're going to sue you guys. They're like, yeah, sure, go sue us.
That's the thing. It's the bigger companies, they'll probably abide by whatever license you invoke if you know for a fact that the code is there and you say, this bit has this specific bit of code which is covered by the GPL license.
Tell that to VMware. They fought tooth and nail.
Yeah, Broadcom is shit. And then they bought VMware, which is also shit.
This was pre-Broadcom, buddy.
Dude, yeah. Like, all right. Yeah. If you're wondering, like, who would basically get to pass from OBS, like, that's the obvious ones, like YouTube, Logitech, mm-hmm. Twitch. Right. NVIDIA,
yeah,
AMD, Intel, Yamaha, Stream Elements, hey, they're there.
Silver tier,
yeah.
Tribute cast, visually impaired, and the patrons. No familiar names up there. Oh. Like, come on, guys, why are you giving OBS money? Become a platinum Patreon for us.
Yes.
Come on.
Introducing the platinum tier. It comes with some shit we'll make up after the show.
Yeah, it comes with whatever the fuck you want. If you're
it's a mystery yeah. box of tears. Yeah, it's just a box of tears. We're not going to tell you where we'll be sourcing tears.
They're just Tears for Fears albums.
Show.
Everybody.
Hey, man, that's it. We're done. That's all the songs everyone knows from Tears for Fears.
It's true. Just the two. I don't know more. I'm straight up.
All right. So stay tuned for that whoopsie. Hopefully, when this explodes, Twitch will go, all right, let's just get set up to ingest AV1. And it will be better for everybody.
No multi-encode. You can just send us an AV1.
Yes, no Rube Goldberg invention between you and Twitch, because they don't want to be asked. It's fucking Amazon. Come on. All right. And nobody hit me up with it. Like, well, they're different companies. Well,
They can make it happen. It's not.
Yeah. Like, it's dysfunctional as hell if they can't make that happen. Now, before we get out of here, I promised it at the top. Last week, there was a report on the industry of game subscriptions as a whole. It's just flat. What was it, a 1%, 2%?
Well, yeah, 1% to 2% growth.
Yeah.
It's not profit, growth.
Growth. Yep, didn't lose money. Made money. Wow.
Not enough money.
We talking like, you know, hey, what are they to do? You know, again, when you talk about
Microsoft, they're suffering.
Microsoft comes up because everyone immediately thinks of Game Pass. That is the dominant subscription gaming service, at least in North America, that I know of. Now, Microsoft clearly watched the show. Somebody at Microsoft. Yep. And they're like,
hi, Phil.
Fuck all jills. This is a direct quote, allegedly. I'm sure he said that in a board meeting. This strikes me as a guy. And I mean that in a good way. I'd probably go have a drink with him. Here's how we're going to solve this. No more stagnation for us. We're going to make money. How do you do that? Better service, better games across the board. It's some shit they didn't do because they're just going to hike the price on you. Uh-huh. That's right. Get wrecked. The prices reflect the need for profitability. Yeah, you probably should have. The playtime, the date time's over, kids. You're going to have to cough up some wet, stinky caches. This makes not one, but two, almost three, if you really want to get technical, bumps in the price over the last roughly 1 year. subscription services are always the first thing people nope when there's a money crunch.
There is. Like, it's across the board. Like, if you're like, all right, what's going to get cut? Are you going to cut food? No. Mm-mm, no. Are you going to cut your chai tea subscription? No. Yeah, that's safe. Going out to eat? Game subs. Netflix. Amazon. Shit, like, not your Crunchyroll, though. That's precious.
Listen, I need my 300 isekai series because my life is miserable. It's just miserable.
Every new seasonal anime bunch comes with at least 3 or 4 isekais now, and I'm down for that.
So what are the numbers? Says something about the
psychology there.
Did anybody look at the numbers across the board? Like, what are we...
Yeah, so I did a little bit of research there. The Ampere study in the article here says that about 74% of Xbox users are subscribed to Ultimate already. And okay, I was not fully cognizant of this going into the story, so I figure some people might not as well. So Xbox Game Pass has a couple components. There is the Game Pass Core, which is basically the Xbox Live subscription, and then you can pay for Game Pass on console and Game Pass on PC, and that's what gives you access to these games. Now, Game Pass for PC is going the way of the dodo. If you still have it, you better hold on to that shit for dear life, because you will be able to grandfather that in to the new era. But the second that you cancel that and resub, so if your credit card has a little issue, you are on the new plan, which is going to be $14.99 a month and is not going to come with all of the day one releases. You got to pay the fucking premium price if you want those day one games. So, yeah. What? So, yeah, 74% of Xbox users who are subscribed to Ultimate. So there's not really a lot of growth there.
It's going up, $3 for the Ultimate, $9 to $11 for the Core. And yes, that's just to play the fuck online, too, man.
Yeah.
$9.99 going to go from $59 to $74 for your annual pass, man. Yeah.
Another $15-ish for the annual pass, which is not bad considering what you're getting.
If it's like the cost of a AAA game a month, and you do get a AAA game every month plus other stuff, like, it's still worth it. It's not the same fantastic deal that it used to be. It's definitely not the value prop that was pitched at the very beginning of this.
It's no longer an insta buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For console owners.
I guess maybe still if you're getting an Xbox, still might be worth it. Maybe
you still have to pay the extra $5 on top of it if you want to access the multiplayer portions, because you're a scrub and you're playing on a console that charges you for multiplayer.
Yeah.
And what if you're like everybody else in, like, you know, Canada and North America? Do you even, like, you got this, but you don't use it a lot? Why? Because you get shit bandwidth.
No.
Yeah. Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still got to download those games. It's like, oh yeah, you can stream them, you know, streaming games. That's a quality experience that everyone bring likes for their fast paced call. So yeah, the big thing here, they're hoping that Call of Duty, that's going to be the thing that draws people back. I don't know.
Shit with see, we get shit on Microsoft, can't pass the story up.
I thought we were gonna shill, but oh well.
Too late, man.
We can help ourselves.
See if we can dig out of this hole. The lovely, upstanding, run by the glorious...
shining golden god, Satya Nadella. Yes,
great. Hashtag not sponsored. All right, check this out. If you watched Microsoft's equivalent to Nintendo Direct they did a couple of months ago, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, it was dope. That was the best one out of that week of everybody doing their demos. Like, they didn't fuck around.
Hashtag not E3.
Yeah, and like they didn't waste your time with like people doing bad scripted shit, and they're like, boom, 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 boom. A couple of games looked dope, and I was like, oh, that's what you've been doing with buying these fucking studios. You've been making fucking games. Who would have thought? Not very unlike you, Microsoft. That's a good idea. And after every one of these fucking trailers is like, Game Pass, day one. Like, oh, shit. People feeling good about themselves, man. They were. Maybe like, fuck, I need to get this Game Pass, have that ready to go when this starts. Now what? You bought your basic bitch tier and you're like, I'm good to go day one. No longer.
It's that rug pull. I mean, it's the enshittification phenomenon, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I don't know. And again, what rubs me the wrong way is it's not that this thing wasn't making money. It wasn't making money hand over foot and ever increasing.
What I want to know from anybody, let me know in the comments, is were you ready? Were you feeling it? Like, I know some people listen to this guy Game Pass. I know for a fact because I talked to him. Was it about that time? Because you know that's just a life cycle with shit like this. You know, when that party's about to be over, when you saw all those new games coming to Game Pass and you're like, yeah, here it comes. We're getting ready for this shit.
Once it got a little too good to be true.
Right. Exactly. And I'm like, did you expect it to be this bad or do you just not care? You're like, whatever. I'm just going to buy the YOLO premium. Like, I'm not price sensitive to like $20 a month. Whatever. Get the fuck out of here.
I guess if that is, if
you're not some hate mail. Yeah.
If you're not buying games and you're getting all of your gaming done through Game Pass. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Rent on, baby.
I guess that's what Microsoft's hoping for, right? Like, is, you know, you're just not going to buy the game. So there's no risk of you, or there's reduced risk.
No, Microsoft would love you to fucking buy the game because then they can get developers to make games for their Xbox.
Yes. That's where the profit margins come in on consoles.
Xbox, you don't go buy games for it. You get Game Pass.
I think they were trying to do like a rent seeker thing where like, yeah, if they can get enough people captured in like paying recurring $70 a month, that's like,
I think this is in response to nobody buying, like they're not getting licensing money. That's been going down, like larger and larger studios are like, yeah, we're not going to bother with Xbox for when nobody buys games.
Yeah. That and like, oh yeah, Microsoft's not going to promote it. If they buy your studio, they're just going to shutter it because fuck them. So yeah, that's rough out there.
Let us know what you think. You can do that. Head over to linkschemecast.com. We got a contact button. As I've said multiple times, if you're watching this in a video, there's probably a comment section below it, especially if you're one of our beautiful party patrons watching that ad-free, custom, tailored version. I put a version up for you to download if you want. Check it out. Let us know what you think. There. Best way to do it is with a contact form, though. Get in touch. We might read it right here on this very show. And last week, lo and behold, I thought we'd probably never bring it up again. Was that Steam fighting game? I'm like, yeah, it's just some bullshit. It's going to be like, it's another Half-Life 3 rumor. Because it's too fucking unbelievable, wasn't it?
Valve making games? Yeah.
Did I have the faith that Valve was like outside of like maybe a fuck-around prototype? Turns out Valve doesn't have a problem releasing fuck-around prototypes. We didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This comes from George, and they respond, Steam Smash Bros. Is kind of a thing in the form of Rivals of Aether, thanks to its Steam Workshop support for custom characters, stages, and modes. 3.5k custom characters is an insane roster, as one can imagine. I've looked at Rivals of Aether. It's basically, we have Smash Brothers at home, but it never got a Linux version, but these days Proton makes that kind of a moot point. And to the direct question of difficulty downgrades, I'm fine with grinding away at a challenge as long as I'm having fun doing it. Challenge stops being fun, I put the game down and come back later. Took a literal year-long break on the final boss of Sekiro, yet somehow finished it the day I came back. Whatever works for y'all, have fun.
That's how that shit works, isn't it? When you're mad,
you've
given up, you fucking walked away, you put the shit down, maybe not a year, but a week, a couple of days, and you come back and you're like, because there's going to be a part of your brain, it's like, You gotta win. I don't care if you quit after you get done kicking this motherfucker's ass, but you gotta come back. And you do it and you just one shot him. You're like, really?
Yeah. I don't know, to liken it to like fucking powerlifting, it's fatigue, right? Like if you're grinding away at the same thing over and over and over again, you're just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And you might luck your way into a victory if you keep grinding. But a lot of times if you stop, you take a break, you let your brain and your nervous system recover, a lot of times you're just gonna play better. Because you took a rest. So, yeah.
I mean,
that is a fact. Yes.
Skill points when I sleep, baby. Come on. I don't know, man. I do that too. Like, I'll peace out. Like, maybe, I don't think I've ever taken a year off, but what's the longest break you've ever had for a game? I'm definitely like months. Like, I would say like maybe 2-3 months and like not because of another reason other than. I don't want to do that game right now.
I've definitely done the year break and come back. But like a lot of the times it's just because like I stopped playing because I got distracted or like something else came up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's not because I ran into a particular issue. Or maybe sometimes it is. And you just come back. And again, you have this thing where it's like it just clicks because your brain has been chewing on it for like a super long time. And yeah,
I think I talked about it. What was it? Mad Max that we had. And I played that up to a point, and I took maybe like 7 months off, and there were so many bullshit menus with the fucking controller that you had to do. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I don't know. I'm lost. I just started over again, man.
I don't think, not for running into like a big difficulty spike, because those, yeah, I'll put it down for a day or so and then come back the next day and just, yeah, get through it. But usually with grinding, when a game expects a certain amount of grind, New World, the MMO.
Speaking that of, was very
watch Jordan do that on 7:30s. He'll ignore you in chat. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's genuinely that game expects a lot of grinding from you, especially if you're trying to do like the crafting stuff. I put that game down for over a year and then I came back. It's like, oh, it's less grindy now. And I sunk about 400 hours into it. So yeah, it makes a difference.
How about this? I did see somebody ask, it got me to think about it. The difference between, I have no problem getting good with a game because it's hard. Even if I ultimately end up failing, what I don't invest time in, or I have a really hard time getting invested in, is I gotta get good because it's broken. That plays differently in my head.
There's certainly that aspect of like, if the developers aren't gonna try to make this a balanced boss fight, I will absolutely cheat to get through it because fuck it. If they're not gonna put in the effort, why should I?
Hmm.
I'm very much on team let people cheat. If it's a single player game and it's you're only affecting yourself, let people cheat. Give people the options to do whatever it is that they want to do on their own playthrough of the game. Come on.
Put an easy mode in Dark Souls.
You're having bad wrong fun, Pedro. Yeah,
put an easy mode in Dark Souls.
You are a morally inferior person for proposing this.
Let people pause.
Canadians
Dark Souls.
Got no chill, dude.
You are the downfall of Western civilization, Pedro Mateus. You specifically and your desire for easy modes in Dark Souls.
Yep.
Let new parents who have tiny children that need attention pause the video game that they enjoy playing so that they can, help the other human being not die.
Jordan,
fuck's sake.
here's why, because you're not charging for it. We gotta charge for easy mode. We're here to make money, yeah. Son.
Oh, hi, John Ricciatello. I didn't see you come in here. How's it going?
Those Estus flasks, $5 a pop. As many as you need. How many would you have bought by now?
No. We'll call it Sekiro, but the S sign is a dollar sign.
Yeah.
It would have been so many. So many.
That's your, fuck this option right there. $5 a pop. I'm going to eat him one. You're like, all right, I'm gonna.
Oh, no. You gotta pay for iframes in your dodge. That's it. how every time you hit dodge, how many iframes do you want to purchase this time?
Oh, how about this DLC? Infinite weight.
Yeah, no encumbrance. Yeah.
None.
I mean, you already have no encumbrance for just the items you pick up in Dark Souls. It's just the stuff that you're wearing that actually has weight.
And check this out. For $9 a month, we'll let you use it online. And PvP.
Yeah. I mean, that's already kind of happening. That's called multiplayer on a console.
But see, we can double dip, though. Because if you are someone who doesn't have it, you can also pay to remove that ability from that person in the match.
Yes.
And then they can pay to turn that off. And so whoever has the most money gets to cheat the hardest.
It turns into a bidding system.
It's just eBay, but for Dark Souls.
See, I would respect the game if it rolled that hard. Somebody was about it, and it just like smash cuts to like bidding. I was like, who really wants to win here?
Yeah. Who really wants it? Who really wants it the most? Right.
Talk with you, Cash. Oh man. All right. I think that's it, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We did a show. If you like the show, as always, thank you for your support. Everybody kicking us some coin over at Patreon, patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. Everything is under our support button. You can check this show out. We got weekly daily Wednesdays. I do Trackmania on Tuesdays and Fridays. Jordan's hanging out on Thursdays. I also got all the stuff that I do over on Interfacing Linux. If you're curious about, you know, if you're one of the rarest of rare unicorns, a Linux creative, and you like doing making stuff and videos and streaming, I'm helping you out over there. Go ask some questions if you got them. But yes, we got the Patreon. We got the Libra Pay. We got the PayPals. And of course, the magic internet money. But on top of that, we got Amazon wish list. If you want to pick a host up something from a show, include a note. We might read it. You never know. We always like gifts. We got a merch store, Amazon storefront. If you're curious about what's inside the studio, making all this stuff tick, and some of their stuff as well, click on that. You don't have to buy it from Amazon. Go buy it anywhere you want. And Humble Affiliate. Stick around for your name in the credits if you are a patron. And thank you for any Twitch subs. Oh, and if you're a Twitch sub, if you are a patron, link that shit up to our Discord.
Yes. That's how you get access.
Come talk to us. You won't regret it at all.
Immediately.
I mean, see Jordan accidentally post pictures.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's great because Discord puts my wife's messages, and that shows you what my life is. My two most popular, my two most frequently used channels are General Disarray and my wife. Mm-hmm. So, fat finger and oops.
I was just like, all right. I thought you were just taking a picture of the poppers, not. I was like,
Yeah. I do that. That is most of the pictures on my phone. It's just my dog.
All right. Wrong song. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, you can always catch us right here on Twitch, not in AV1. This week. Kicking off right here at 8:30. But if you are one of our supporters, get in that Discord. Get up to a Death Note level and hang out in the pre-super shows. And we even have a video version for our executive producers. It is there ready to go. But get in touch with me. I'm at Vin Stone on X, or just Vin on our federated timeline. Mast.linuxgamecast.com, where I have a viral post on Mastodon about War Thunder. Because that happened.
Boost it more. Give them more notifications. I'm Jordan, and if you're in one of my AD&D games, you can pay me to win. I do accept microtransactions or macrotransactions. Follow me on Twitter at The Burning Fool, Mastodon at Frojo.mastodon.linux.
What about big macrotransactions?
About mega macrotransactions? Ooh, yeah. Or at Frojo at bsky.app. Give me some of those, yeah.
McDonald's, call us.
Not sponsored.
I'm down for McDonald's. I'm always down for McDonald's. hashtag not sponsored. If you would like to see other such not sponsored nonsense, you can follow me on Mastodon. It's unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at mast.linuxgamecast.com.
God damn it. I wish I had like head to toe like Jackbox merch to wear.
we got to order you a bunch of those t-shirt hell shirts and then turn them into pants.
Time for some credits.
I love that Metallica album, Weirdly Magnetic. Well, it's time. Not going to post my hog unless it's an actual pig. Advisors, Omega Star Therum, Executive Producer, Scott, Mab Ramps, Atomic Ass, Mike G, Tomaj, Dave, Eship, Ian, Kerducky, 1234, Haplo, Drummer, and our little Nikki fans, Super Deathstote, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, Trooper Swedish Sloth. Thank you very much.
Trooper Sleazeloth, we love you.
Good old Trooper Sleazeloth.
No Rx Machina, he's my favorite. To the Justin Darkwing System D, that's like Joe the Crazy, Ogi One and Frostclaw. And a Death Notes, Nova Chat, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.1, Stephen, E, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, Schwein, Schello, and Paper.
Oh, yes. Of course, our fine outstanding cannibals like Carl, Mike, Arth, Theron, Linux, Nero, Aldius, Nocalist, John, Eshep, Gamatron, Unoid, DSN, Joy, Aromatic, Def, and Kai, Jor, Rai. And remember, oink, bitches.
That's not very kosher at all.
We'll see you next week.
Motherfucker.
Dynafire.
Five dudes.